It's time to talk about the crew. Brought to you by Pool Park in Menominee Falls. Pool Park, a family-owned business that's been around since 1964, specializes in above-ground and semi-in-ground pools, hot tubs, water care, and pool service and maintenance. Plus, get 5% off cleaning supplies if you're wearing your favorite crew apparel. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily. Served up by Wendy's with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
Ah, yes, 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 yes. It is that time. Don't forget Pool Park Menominee Falls tomorrow. This show will be out there broadcasting live from 2 to 5 tomorrow at Pool Park Menominee Falls. Got a 4-pack of Fright Fest tickets to give away as well. Come on out, register to win those tickets and come hang out. I'm doing it from one of the Dimension One spots. I'll be inside, and no, it's not going to have water, funny people. I'm going to be sitting inside doing the show, looking forward to it. One guy that I'm sure would love to have it filled up with water for me is Tim Mooma of BrewerFanatic.com, who I harass constantly when he comes on the show. Yet he still comes on because he's a good dude. Follow him on Twitter at Tim_Mooma. Tim, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. How about you, Sparky?
I'm doing good, man. We got two new local shows starting on Monday to add to our daily lineup. 8 a.m. We'll announce the two shows, and then they'll start their shows right away on Monday. So 8 a.m. Monday, Tim Mooma. Two more shows to add to my show in the afternoon. So three local shows Monday through Friday starting on Monday.
The Sparky Empire continues to build. I love it.
Brick by brick. I never thought of the Sparky Empire thing, but that's not horrible. I don't necessarily hate it. Tim, I wanted to get you on a couple of days ago. We weren't able to. And then we were able to hear some Matt Arnold today. We were able to hear some Pat Murphy today. Is Devin Williams on this team next year?
I mean, I would have told you at the beginning of the season that he wouldn't be on the team next year. I just think, you know, it's the way the Brewers operate. They're not going to pay any reliever, you know, $8, $9, $10 million if they can avoid it. He's still going to have tons of value, and it has nothing to do with what happened in the playoffs. I'm sure some people will look at it that way, that they're getting rid of him for that reason. But I can't honestly imagine any way he's with the club, just because, you know, they have so many good young arms, especially out of the bullpen. They have tons of options, and as always, they're going to have to play the game of shuffling around payroll and shipping some guys out to be able to kind of keep up and give those raises to the guys who need the raises. And, you know, it's a nice run for Devin Williams, but kind of that's the life of a closer in Milwaukee. You get as many years as you can out of them, and then when they hit that certain price tag, it's time to get value back for them. And I think it's going to be one of those things where they get a guy who a lot of people are going to be like, well, who's this? And then by the end of the season, you're like, ah, okay. Now I see what they're doing with this trade for Williams.
It's a club option for 2025, making $10-plus million in his age 30 season. So they can deny the club option, do the $250,000 buyout according to SpotTrac, and move on. But if they pick up the club option, they could still trade him if that's something they want to do as well. I think they pick up the club option and keep him and try and make a push with him this year, and then essentially are going to let him walk away for nothing, similar to what they're going to do with Willy Adames right now.
Well, I mean, you and I have plenty of times see eye to eye, and plenty of times don't so much see the same way. You know, they actually have another option too. They could decline the option, and if they do that, they actually he's still in arbitration, so they could take him to arbitration where he would get likely less than the 10.5 because of the time missed this year, and that might make him mad. But if you're planning on trading him anyway, it actually makes him more valuable to another team if he's only making, say, $7.5 million. But to your point, if he's only gonna make that much, don't you want him on your team? But we don't know how that arbitration kind of yin and yang goes when it happened with Corbin Burns. So it's playing with fire a little bit. So I guess they kind of have to make that decision ahead of time, what they really want to do and what they're willing to get back for someone like Williams, who, again, I think they'll get a nice, decent, at least one decent prospect or near MLB player ready. But who knows? Maybe they surprise us and say, hey, we got the horses. Let's keep them at the back end of the bullpen like you think.
I think that's what it'll go. The hater thing damaged the mentality of this organization, I think, after what they went through. And I don't think they're ready to go through it again. But either way, let's talk about Adames. So I've been saying for weeks, $25 to $30 million a year is what he's going to make on the open market probably. So he's out. So he's not coming back. Now they have options, right? They can move Terang to shortstop, find a new second baseman. They can move Joey Ortiz to shortstop, let Sal Frelick play third like they were talking about doing at the beginning of the season. And it never worked out because Mitchell got hurt. They could do that. They could go out and sign somebody as well to come in and play third base in a holding pattern until Brock Wilken can get here from the minor leagues. How do you think they go about trying to replace Willy Adames?
I mean, I think the most obvious move would be Ortiz to short. I mean, I know he's not going to bring the power that Adames does, of course, but most shortstops, well, I shouldn't say most, but a lot of shortstops don't have that kind of power. But Ortiz is just, I mean, he's an elite defender. And, you know, unfortunately, Adames had always been a good defender, and you saw some of the regression this year, probably just age-related, and, you know, that's what happens to guys who are a little bit bigger, maybe not quite as athletic as you see at shortstop. But, I mean, Ortiz is just awesome in the field, and so that'll be that'll actually be a positive in the long run. And I think his bat will come around. I think he'll be fine. He's really good early in the year, had that injury, and he sort of never really found his track again. So I think that's the best way to go. You keep Terang, where he's been phenomenal as well at second base. And then third base becomes, you know, that's a tricky spot, which seems it's been that way for years and years with the Brewers, other than, you know, every once in a while you get a Travis Shaw over there who's productive, or, you know, Ramos Ramirez if you go back a ways. So I think it is, you know, maybe they bring a couple guys in or some veteran in to kind of fill out that spot. As you said, Frelick, get an opportunity there, at least until they think one of their prospects can come up and man that spot. You know, I think they don't want to hold that, or they don't want to block third base for many years, because they do think they have some really legit options coming up, and they want to make sure they're flexible. And plus, you got to think about first base too. I mean, Hoskins, I assume, is going to, you know, the player option, because he's not going to get a better offer anywhere else. So.
Correct. Yes.
So he's going to be there or at DH, but then after next season, you know, it's another corner spot to think about. So, you know, again, this is going to be the way it is with the Brewers. They're going to move guys around. They're going to try to be flexible. They're going to keep their payroll as open as they can so they can make those moves. And I just think in this case, the obvious one is, Ortiz at short, rotating guys at third, and you'll figure out the offense from there.
Maybe that's it. Maybe, Tim Uma, you move Devin Williams for a guy that's at double A, that's a really good first baseman, or at single A, that's a really good first baseman, to try and solve that going forward. Bob Nightingale, Odyssey MLB insider with USA Today, put out, what was it, last week, I think it was, in one of his pieces, that the Brewers are keeping an eye on Paul Goldschmidt, and if he were to enter free agency, they would be interested in Goldschmidt. That means you would have Hoskins and Goldschmidt rotating at first base in DH. The question is, can you revitalize Paul Goldschmidt's career in Milwaukee?
It's a good question. I think he hit better a little bit as the year went on, but it was a real struggle for him. And I truthfully don't know where he's at defensively nowadays. Hoskins is pretty brutal over there. And that's one thing Bauer's really helped out the crew with, was his defense. As much as people wanted to rag on him offensively, of course, he came up with what would have been one of the biggest hits in franchise history. You know, I mean, Goldschmidt's taunted and haunted the Brewers forever, and you love to think maybe get one more big year out of him, you know, just as a stopgap, because you know you have young guys coming up behind. I mean, I'm not opposed to it. I mean, I don't want them to spend money just to spend money, or again, think, well, he's a Cardinal, he's going to do everything he did there over here. I don't know if it's the best route. I mean, that might be something as the offseason wears on and he's not getting offers, kind of like Hoskins, where, okay, well, he fits into our budget. You know, we have technically a spot and roll with it. But, I mean, realistically, I think there's probably at least better options as far as keeping the roster flexible and being able to make moves as the year goes on, because, I mean, he looked like he was definitely getting to the end of his rope here. But you never know. I mean, guys can have those resurgent years, and he's the type of player, I think, if he really wants to play, he's going to put everything he has into making sure it works. So I wouldn't count it out, but I wouldn't put it at a very high percentage they'd sign him.
Tied with Tim Uma, Brewer Fanatic. Follow him on Twitter at Tim_Muma. Let's talk about the starting rotation. A guy brought up today about Woodruff and Yelich and their availability coming possibly at spring training. Obviously, if Woodruff is Woodruff, and we have no idea if he'll ever be that again, but if he is, that gives you a legitimate front guy and really changes the dynamic of what this rotation is. When you talk about Peralta, Savali, Tobias Myers, all part of this rotation for next year.
Yeah, he's such a huge question mark, but he would be, I mean, it's one of those things where, I mean, Woodruff could make the difference between being a top rotation and a, you know, bottom half rotation, although the Brewers never seem to fall in that category. There's just so many question marks with that, and being able to come back. Again, you want to talk about guys who are bulldogs and going to give everything got and do everything they need to do. Woodruff's that kind of guy. So I definitely wouldn't count him out as being able to come back. And maybe he's not going to be an ace type, but as we've seen, obviously, with the way the Brewers work with their pitchers and, of course, their defense, if he's even, you know, a fraction of what he has been in the past, that's a huge boost to the rotation, especially if again, if Tobias Myers keeps, you know, improving as he showed throughout the year, and you have, again, some young options coming up, you know, Savale, I imagine he'll definitely be hanging on to. Frankie Montas, that's up in the air.
Gone.
I think he's got like a $20 million option,
yep,
but he'll work on, you know. So, yeah, if he just did that, I think he's gone one way or the other. But, you know, I think, again, it's going to be a lot like this year where the Brewers are going to have to just cycle through guys until they figure out what works. And the hope, I guess, is that Woodruff is, again, if he can be, you know, a half season guy. And I say that just in terms of, okay, maybe he starts the year and he's strong and then he's going to need some time off because that shoulder, or, you know, who knows what he's going to be going through. But then you have those options to fill in and you use six man rotation. And again, it's hard not to trust the Brewers at this point with what they've done with their pitchers. And if you can have, you know, Freddie be at least somewhat close to himself and Woodruff be close to what he has been in the past, that's a good start. And then you rotate those younger guys in, and chances are the way the Brewers have done it the last, you know, 6, 7, 8 years, they're going to be right in the hunt, and they'll figure out a way to try to push it over the top. That's always the hope. And sometimes maybe at some point here, it's not going to work out, but there's no reason to really mix with the formula for now.
I agree with you on that. One last one for you. I don't know if Pat Murphy got asked this or not in the press, or we didn't have time to play. It was like 20 minutes long. We played some of it, though. Let me ask you this. If you were Pat Murphy, would you be as aggressive in how you played the game next year like you were this year, when maybe you didn't think you were going to be as good as you were, as far as, you know, the squeeze plays, the bunting, the aggressive base running on the base paths and that type of stuff? Would you play that same type of style?
Stealing bases and taking extra bases, 100%. You know, the bunting you can go back and forth on. I think it's a good weapon for a lot of the guys to have. And I actually still think some of the guys should be bunting for hits more often. Now, the sacrifice bunting, you know, that's going to be argued till the end of time with baseball, whether or not it's beneficial. You can look at the numbers, all that stuff. But I think they should. I think that's still going to be their identity. I don't think they're ever going to get to the point, as much as, you know, Cheerios obviously going to excite us for how many years, we hope. They're not going to have a bunch of 30 home run sluggers. You know, their on base percentage is much better this year. And the more times you have guys on base, create that chaos, create problems for the defense. I mean, we've seen it in the postseason, both against the Brewers with the Mets, but also in some of these other series, that defense does make a difference. And a lot of times it's smart and aggressive base running that really forces the issue, that because of the way teams are now constructed and the way the game has moved a little bit toward more of that athleticism, I think you got to keep pushing and be just as aggressive, especially while you have a young team. As you get older, you can't take those risks because of injury and guys are going to slow down. But I mean, as much as you have speed and aggressive and young players, I think you've got to keep pushing the envelope. And yep, and that might be the difference, again, between winning 85 games and winning 90 games.
He is Tim Mumma. Follow him on Twitter @Tim_Mumma from Brewer Fanatic. Tim, thank you much.
Awesome, Sparky. Thanks again. Take care.